Roofing and Firing, Monday, the 24th of October, 2022. The Honourable the Chief Minister. Mr. Speaker, events in London, which all Honourable members will be aware of, have transpired to produce a new leader of the Conservative Party just before the House sits in place. Now, whilst we are sitting, the new leader of the Conservative Party is addressing all elected members of Parliament for the Conservative Party in the 1922 committee. Mr. Sunak has been a Chancellor of the Exchequer, and he knows the book well from his time there and the work that we did with him to secure the £500 million guarantee from the Treasury at that time. And therefore, I'm very confident that we will be able to work with him as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, as well as if we've been able to work with successive Prime Ministers since we were elected, Mr. Cameron, Mr. May, Mr. Johnson, and most recently, Ms. Truss. I've written to Ms. Truss on behalf of the people and government of Gibraltar to thank her for the work that she has done with us at the time that she was Secretary of State for International Trade, Foreign Secretary, and most latterly, and most recently, Prime Minister. And I've written to Rishi Sunak to congratulate him on becoming the leader of the Conservative Party in anticipation of him being appointed by the King as Prime Minister. I very much look forward to working with the Sunak-led government to ensure the best possible outcome for Gibraltar in the context of the negotiations of the UK-EU treaty and all other matters, bilateral and multilateral, between Gibraltar and the United Kingdom. Mr. Clark. Order of business. Bill. First and second readings. A bill for an act to amend the Pensions Act. The Honourable the Chief Minister. I think I have the honour to move the bill for an act to amend the Pensions Act for the first time. I now put the question, which is that a bill for an act to amend the Pensions Act be read the first time. Those in favour, those against, carried. The Pensions Amendment Act 2022. Now, the answer is that the act now be read, the bill now be read a second time. But Mr. Speaker, Sections 61(2)(f) of the Pensions Act already sets out the criteria for the entitlement from pension, gratuity, or other allowance of officers retiring from public service under the government, and those public officers who are transferred to other public services. This subsection of the Act does not provide for the situation, however, where a public officer under government service and entitled to a pension under this Act transfers to a government-owned company or corporation and then transfers again to another wholly-owned company or corporation. We might call a double bounce. Clause 3A of the bill makes provision for Section 61 of the Pensions Act to be amended after Section 1E so that this situation can be provided for in legislation as transfers from the public service to government-owned companies or corporations, and a further transfer to government-owned companies or corporations that occurred within the public service. It also provides for the legislation to be given with respect to the effect to the 2nd of December 2019 for the purpose of including those public officers entitled to a pension who have already retired under these circumstances. Clause 3B of the bill amends Section 17(7) of the Pensions Act, which sets out the criteria when an officer who dies in the service of an authority, a statutory authority, or an agency, or a wholly-owned company or corporation, is deemed to have died whilst in the public service under the government. The amendment has the effect of including the public officers that had transferred to government-owned companies or corporations, and then transferred again to another wholly-owned company or corporation. Again, that's double bounce, so that they're covered by the same provision. Mr. Speaker, I commend the bill very much. Before I put the question, does any honourable member wish to speak on the general principles and merits of the bill? The honourable leader of the opposition.
Mr. Speaker, yes. And can I just say before I launch into my point of clarification that we are rather depleted, as you will see on this side of the House. Unfortunately, the the members that we had down in COVID had great tested positive for it. Why we thought that they might be sued today. This is a bill that was going to be taken by my colleague, Mr. Clinton, but on his behalf, and having discussed the matter with him, can I just seek some clarification on it? So we did note in going through the purpose of the amendment, in comparing the bill with the original act, which goes back to 1961, we did note that at some point, perhaps not now, but certainly I just sort of flag that, of course, this impacts on the public service in terms of pensionability, but that the definition itself of public service is rather antiquated, and the government may want to flag that for their own legal drafts, and if not now, for another occasion, because the definition of public service is understood. Makes reference to the East African Railways, so on and so forth, but that's an issue of detail. And on the principle of the bill itself, can I ask the Chief Minister to perhaps give us a bit more detail on the implication of the changes? He's explained, I think, in his original remarks that the reason for the date of December 2019 was because we're bringing within scope people who have retired from. At that date, he may have fallen within the scope of his proposed amendment. Can you explain to us, does he have details of how many, loosely speaking, public officers, if I can use that phrase, would come within the scope of his legislation? And to the extent that he may have those statistics, how many public officers are we talking about that may have gone not just from the government to a government-owned company, but that have bounced a second or third time into another company? I was assuming when I was going through this that it probably is not a big amount of people, but it would be helpful to understand how many people we're talking about so that we can form our own view of the implications of the changes. And I don't know whether he has any comments to add as to the financial implications of the changes, not just in terms of the numbers of people affected, but in terms of whether, you know, what the financial implications of those changes are. And in terms of fixing the date of the 1st of December 2019, is there a magic to that date, or would someone then say they've been left out because of that date? Or does the Chief Minister have that information?
The Honourable Chief Minister.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The definition of the public service, as the Honourable Gentleman says, is now one which is currently of a different age. And I don't disagree with him. It's one that I look at sometimes, and I do wonder how it is that we haven't yet amended it. There are instances when one looks at these things and wonders whether, perhaps in future, we might have businesses that stretch out as far as they used to in the past. But it's very unlikely that those businesses would be public businesses, and therefore I think we are overdue a change of the definitions, and not just the one that the Honourable Gentleman appoints to. Mr. Speaker, the numbers of people that are affected by this change are, in fact, as vulnerable as the definition has suggested, a handful. There are no more than that. But there are a handful that have to be provided for, and from memory, I believe that this issue is an issue that was raised by the principal auditor in order to ensure that the payment of pensions is properly provided for. As a result, Mr. Speaker, the issue of the date, I think, is related also to an officer that was identified as not being covered by the rules as they are presently drafted, and who transferred on that date. Since then, there may have been one or others. The reason we haven't been able to do this bill sooner, Mr. Speaker, is that, of course, quickly or shortly after December 19, and that's when the transfer happened, not when the problem was identified, but shortly after December 19, most of our drafting became occupied with the drafting of the coronavirus legislation, regulations, etc., etc. So that became very difficult. But when I bring in a matter to the House of Commons to tidy up and to provide clarity in respect to individuals who are caught in this issue, I don't have a number that I can give them, because it may be an issue that you wanted to put a formal question on next time in the House, so that those who compile answers can check. But I think there is literally also just a handful of people that would be affected by moving from the government service to an agency or authority, and then moving again to another agency, authority, or another company. Because those who do move should have the protection that this bill provides for, so that thereafter, when their pensions are paid, they have the correct and full legal cover that there needs to be for the payment of those pensions. I hope that's helpful. If I can just add, so, therefore, in terms of the financial implications, which is a little bit of an other question, in my understanding, there will be no financial implications as a result of this legislation. Because if people felt that if they were to move, they would lose their pensions, they wouldn't move, and the liability would be to pay the pensions. They have moved on the understanding that they will not lose their pension entitlement, and so therefore, this is exactly the same liability to the government as there would be otherwise.
I'll put the question, which is that the Bill for Act to amend the Pensions Act be read a second time. Those in favour, those against, carried. Pensions Amendment Act 2022.
I'd like to give notice that the committee stage on third reading on the bill be taken later today. All honourable members agree.
Do all honourable members agree that the committee stage on third reading of the bill be taken today? A bill for an act to amend the Crimes Act 2011. The Honourable Chief Minister.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honour to move that the Bill for an Act to amend the Crimes Act 2011 and for connected purposes be read a first time.
I now put the question, which is that a Bill for an Act to amend the Crimes Act 2011 and for connected purposes be read a first time. Those in favour, those against, carried. The Crimes Amendment Act 2022.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honour to move that the bill now be read a second time. And Mr. Speaker, the Crimes Act provides, rightly, that offenders who are convicted of particular offences, in particular sexual offences, should comply with notification requirements under our law. That means that they are on something loosely called the Sex Offenders Register, and as a result, they have to notify their movements in their particular area. It was brought to my attention by the former Leader of the House and my predecessor, Mr. Peter Kavanagh, that the Act did not provide any discretion to the courts, or to judges in particular, to shorten the period when an individual has to be on the register for sexual offenders in appropriate circumstances. In other words, there would be no discretion allowed as to the period for which a person should be on the register of sexual offenders, whether that person was guilty of the most heinous of sexual offences, or whether that person had been found to be in breach of certain rules, but the moral opprobrium that the court might consider should be visited upon the particular crime in question should be lesser than another type of similar offence. Mr. Speaker, in our law, we are always very careful not to tie the hands of judges. We tend to permit judges to have the ability to determine every aspect of sentence based on their determination of the culpability affecting an individual who has been found or has pleaded guilty of an offence. And I think perhaps through inadvertence, we have not provided that element of flexibility to permit the judge to be the party that determines whether the period should be shortened or should not be shortened in any particular instance. And so I asked my predecessor when he brought this to my attention to draft the piece of legislation that would be necessary to fix, to remedy that situation, to ensure that the courts didn't have the discretion to make their own determinations, having heard the details of a particular offence in question. And Mr. Speaker, in a nutshell, that is what this bill does. It provides the ability, it provides the power, rather, to the judge that has heard the case or who has an application brought to him to permit an offender who has applied to the magistrate's court to have his application to be removed, his or her application to be removed from the register, or have the period when they're going to be on the register and are subject to the onerous notification requirements shortened from the otherwise categorically provided period. I commend the bill to us.
Before I put the question, does any honourable member wish to speak on the general principles and merits of the bill? The honourable leader of the opposition.
Mr. Speaker, again, for the same reasons, I rise instead of Mr. Peter to speak on these principles. We will support the bill, and as the Chief Minister says, it's right that the court that deal with offenders should have the discretion to then determine the appropriate sentences and how long those should be carried for. So we will support the principle of the bill.
I now put the question, which is of the Verify Act to amend the Crimes Act 2011, and for collective purposes, to vote a second time. Those in favour? Those against? Carried. The Crimes Amendment Act 2022.
Mr. Speaker, I beg to give notice that the Committee State of the Union of the Bill be taken today. If all honourable members agree.
Do all honourable members agree that the committee stays and third reading of the bill be taken today?
Speaker, may I? Can I just highlight to the honourable members opposite that we are supporting the principles of the bill, but when it comes to committee votes, and we're not putting forward an amendment, but personally I found section 215I. Section 2 a difficult read because of the double negative. So I just put it to the honourable members. If they're satisfied with the drafting, that's fine. But I found it a hard read. Well, Mr. Speaker, it's really for the committee stage rather than now. I don't know on what basis we're saying anything about this now, but I hear what the honourable gentleman says, and I'm happy to have a look at it together so that if there is a better sort of language, we can come up with it.
I refer to the other students, but it wasn't the point at which you should have raised it. That is, you raised it when you were talking about general principles, but you need to raise it now at committee stage. A bill from Act to amend the Civil Aviation Act 2009. The Honourable Deputy Chief Minister.
Speaker, I have the honour to move that a bill for an act to amend the Civil Aviation Act 2009 be read a first time.
I now put the question, which is that a bill for an act to amend the Civil Aviation Act 2009 be read a first time. Those in favour? Those against? The Civil Aviation Amendment Act 2022.
I have the honour to move that the bill be now read a second time. Mr. Speaker, this bill introduces new powers to make subsidiary registration for the purposes of regulating vehicular, pedestrian, and other traffic on Western Portland Avenue. The regulation can only apply in the area prescribed and will be limited to the part of Western Portland Avenue which intersects to Volta Airport, including cycling lanes and footpaths.
which new legislation in this area became apparent after discussion with the World Revolt of Police, the Ministry of Defense, and the Revolt of Defense Police. The biggest challenges in police in this area when people are invited onto the runway and behave in a responsible manner, or do not listen to instructions given by the police, or police officers, or airport officials. A specific incident last year saw a person enter by the south barrier of Winston Churchill Avenue and received exit in a timely fashion. Excessive over can cause delays in clearing the runway and risk endangering an aircraft attempting to land. Although fences preventing trespass onto the water airport, rental restricted areas can be found in a Civil Aviation Act and Crimes Act respectively, such offences would not apply to persons who are invited onto the runway and remain within the confines of the road, cycle lanes, and footpath. Therefore, the proposed regulations will create specific offences which will help the authority to deal with such incidents effectively. Enforcement will also be aided by the ability for police officers to issue fixed penalty notices. The Speaker, I commend the bill to that.
So far for the question, does any honourable member wish to speak on the general principles and merits of the bill? The honourable member, Mr.
Phillips. Mr. Speaker, we will support this bill, but just by way of clarification, what have you taken as to whether the definition of Gibraltar Airport, which is referred to in the interpretation section of the Act, the Crime Act, the Civil Aviation Act, includes Civil Airport and Eye of Gibraltar to extend that part of Winston Churchill Avenue? I would also ask that for present clarification because of the powers it seeks to exercise on that segment of Winston Churchill Avenue, which I assume just leads on to the runway. But apart from that, we will, of course, support this bill.
The Honourable Deputy Chief Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This arises precisely when the function of the road changes from being a road to being part of the runway. And that's why it is said that the loophole that exists because of that change in function has been disclosed.
I now put the question, which is whether the Bill for an Act to amend the Civil Aviation Act 2009, with a second time, those in favour? Those against? Carried.
The Civil Aviation Amendment Act 2022. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give notice of the committee stage and third reading of the bill be taken today if all honourable members agree.
Do all honourable members agree that the committee stage and third reading of the bill be taken today? Is the government going to be dealing with any further bills?
Committee stage and third reading. The Honourable the Chief Minister. Mr. Speaker, I'd be honoured to move that the House would now resolve itself into committee to consider the following bill called by clause. The Pensions Amendment Bill 2022, the Crimes Amendment Bill 2022, and the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill 2022. A bill to amend the Pensions Act, clauses 1 to 3,
clauses 1 to 3 becoming part of the bill.
The wrong title
becoming part of the bill.
A bill to amend the Crimes Act. 2011. Clauses 1
was 1 point part of the bill.
Clause 2
of Kingstown Charter Bill.
The Minister has my point, which I made earlier, on the wording. I won't repeat it because you heard it earlier, so if they are satisfied about the wording, then that's fine. If they want to reflect further, again, we leave it with them. We found subsection 315I2. As I said before, a hard green because it is double negative.
Speaker, I'm looking at it, and the Honourable Gentleman, I think, has expressed it in a way that is exactly right. It's a hard read. It's a hard read that reads right. In other words, it does what it needs to do, but it is a hard read because of the double negative. And I know, Mr. Speaker, the result is change that wording, which is complex, and think that we're going to be able to make it easier to read it. If the draftsman who has a lot of legislative experience has considered that is the best way to do it in these circumstances. I mean, not all of our legislation is easy to read. Hard reads are what make lawyers necessary in the end. I do take the Honourable Gentleman's point. I don't think that the text leads us to a double negative which makes the sentence nonsensical. I think it does what it needs to do, and therefore I'm minded not to make any changes on the hoof, so to speak.
All three stands part of the vote. The wrong title. The wrong title stands part of the vote. A bill for an act to amend the Civil Aviation Amendment Act 2022. Clauses 1 to 3 stands part of the bill. The wrong title. All title stands part of the bill.
I have the honour to report that the Pensions Amendment Bill 2022, the Crimes Amendment Bill 2022, and the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill 2022 have been considered in committee and agreed to without amendments, and I now move that they be read a third time and passed.
I now put the question, which is that the Pensions Amendment Bill 2022, the Crimes Amendment Bill 2022, the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill 2022, be read a third time and passed. Those in favour of the Pensions Amendment Bill 2022, those against, carried. Those in favour of the Crimes Amendment Bill 2022, those against, carried. Those in favour of the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill 2022, those against, carried.
The Honourable Chairman. Just before I move the adjournment, I'm sure all other Honourable Members have heard that one of our number in the course of exerting herself in pursuing
the territory of life that we should remain active, has done herself an unfortunate injury. The whole House will want to join me in wishing Mr. Malin Hassan Naon a speedy recovery from that injury. I know that she will miss being with us today, and I hope that despite the injury, she will be mobile enough to be able to join us for the House's next session, which I'm happy to inform the House I anticipate will be in November. I think we have agreed on the 23rd is likely to be the date that we will come back. And we're going to have to now adjourn maybe. Of course, yeah. First of all, I'm joining him in those remarks. But I just wanted, because I thought we were going to get on to that part of the agenda, I just wanted to record my agreement with the UN Minister for Health that I have a motion standing in my name. But we had agreed to kick that forward while we had discussions on issues in mental health. I certainly join the Chief Minister in the remarks about the honourable lady.
I now propose the question, which is that this House adjourn. And I put the question, which is that this House now adjourn. Those in favour, those against, pass. The House will now adjourn.